Hi, everybody. Welcome to BBS Radio Station 1 with Growing Up Indigo and Medina. Today, we have part 2 of Carolyn Gervais' interview, and I'm excited. So we're going to be talking today about, of course, life before life, how soul agreements direct our destiny. And in part 1, we talked about a lot about her background, and I think we're going to talk a little bit more. But for those of you who haven't downloaded it or listened at that time, I just want to give you a tiny bit about Carolyn. She's certified in spiritual psychology, clinical hypnotherapy. She has a master's degree in holistic nutrition. And she's also, by the way, a musician and singer. And she did that for a large part of her life. She's also an intuitive dream interpreter. And so she's a Renaissance woman. And you're going to find out how much when we speak to her, which is right now. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome back.
Thank you, Adina. Thanks for having me back.
Oh, I'm so excited. And I know my clients are too. Our listeners, actually.
Yeah.
So I know they are too, because they express the interest.
Oh,
so
good.
How are you?
I'm doing good.
Glad to hear that. And so, Carolyn, and upon reflection, I know our first interview, we were fumbling a little bit because we were looking for things. And so this show, we're going to be very much, we're going to cram it all in, because unless we can have a third one, which I wouldn't mind. But so we're going to talk about some things that I feel and you feel that are super important. So would you like to say anything, or should I just like delve right in?
No, go for it.
Okay. What I think that we most want to know is, what challenges in your life were the most instrumental in putting you on this path of spirituality?
Well, my childhood experience of knowing when I entered this body, and I mean, when I was 3 years old, I realized I was in a body for the first time and realized that I had come from a place that I called home, that was more like a heavenly place compared to this earth. And that made me question, okay, why am I here? What am I doing here? What am I supposed to do with all this, you know? But then that went into having to learn about my family, because I didn't know who they were at first. I knew who my mother and my twin sister were, but that was it. And then as I got older, I realized that, I learned that my father was a very, very angry person that I was very afraid of. I mean, I was punished every day of my life. I was hit every day of my life in some way or another, you know. I was scared to death of my dad, because I never knew when he was just going to hit me or throw me across the room or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
And then my mother had alcohol problems and mental problems,
right,
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
we'd have to babysit her. I mean, I remember counseling my mother in elementary school. My twin sister and I would counsel our mother and try to get her out of her depressions. And then life just, you know, was hard. Afraid of everything, you know, and had no confidence in myself, and I didn't know who I was or, you know, what I was going to become in this world. And I got pregnant at 17 by my very first boyfriend. I was singing in high school, actually all my whole life. Since I was 4 years old, I started singing at 4, because I knew that's what I wanted to do when I grew up, was to be a singer. And so I was singing all through high school in bands, high school bands, and that was going to be my life. And then I found out I was pregnant. I married my boyfriend. He was very, he he controlled my life. I was a possession. You know, I had to do what he told me, just like I had to do with my father. And it was very painful. And then I became so depressed. I did want my child. I want everybody to know
yes.
that. I did want my child. There was no way I was going to give up my child. But figuring out how I was going to get through my depression of being on this earth in order to teach my child how to live on this in this world in a peace-loving way and enjoy it. And so I've had many talks with God, and God directed me to start reading books that most people don't read, books, metaphysical books,
right.
you know. And so I started with that, and then I went into theosophy, Alice Bailey books, and Eastern philosophy books. And I've studied for 40 years, I've studied and contemplated and meditated. I taught myself how to meditate. I taught myself how to do yoga. So I taught yoga for a while as well. And life was just hard. I stayed married to that first husband for 9 years, and then I divorced him. And then life got even harder because it was the first time I was ever in the world on my own.
Right.
And I was really scared. And all the only thing I knew to do was to sing. That's the only talent I believed in. And so I started looking for bands to sing with. And then there was a lot of pain in bands because people in bands, especially the male musicians, have really strong egos.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Especially when there's a female vocalist. And it's like the female vocalist takes the brunt of everything, you know, because she's just a female vocalist, you know. And
can I just stop you right here?
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt you. I just want to... The reason I'm asking this is because I find it, I think it's interesting. I want to take you back to the very beginning for just one moment.
Okay.
You said you remember being in a 3-year-old's body.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if at any point in your childhood, because I do know from your work that you are gifted. So I wanted to know if at any point you ever heard or felt or received a message from anything, whatever you want to call it, that you were different?
When I was a kid, you mean?
Yes, when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm. No.
You never received anything?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
My father said everything was my imagination that...
But that means you did.
Well, I mean, he was saying, because I didn't feel like anybody cared about me and other kids and stuff, and he says, oh, that's just your imagination, of course.
Oh, that part. Okay,
yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just, you know, we're at the point where you were singing, and what was it that, well, we know because... we were there last week when you went on to stay with that couple who were really, really kind of mind controlled you. So
yes,
what I want, right. So what I'd like to do is start from when you became yourself so we can get into the meat of this work you've done. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I started studying metaphysics. Are you ready?
Oh, yeah, of course. Sorry. Yeah.
When I started studying metaphysics, I was 17. So, and I learned meditation and all that. So I did anything I could to feel closer to God and to have God give me some kind of message that he was with me and that he cared about me, you know. And I did get all kinds of things. I saw what people would call ghosts in my house when I was meditating. I'd hear a noise, and I'd open up my eyes, and I'd see somebody standing right in front of me, smiling really big, like they didn't want to scare me, you know.
Yes.
And I'd close my eyes and open them again, and they'd be gone, things like that. So I knew those were messages from God. I saw my grandfather sitting on the couch that I was meditating on several times. In my meditations, I would hear a noise, and I'd open up my eyes, and I would see out of my peripheral vision my grandfather sitting on the couch and smiling at me, things like that. And I had a very good intuition about things, so I was able to pick up on people's feelings and what kind of people they were. And when I went into singing, you know, I tried to get into groups where people weren't into drugs and things like that, but that's kind of hard back then, especially
yes,
in the music
I remember.
Field. Mm-hmm. Yeah, everybody was into drugs, and I wasn't, because my mother abused drugs, prescription drugs, and alcohol, so I never wanted to be seen acting like what I saw with my mother.
Right.
So I was mistreated in the band. I was beaten up verbally and told I wasn't going to get paid if I didn't join their drug parties after work. And, you know, they'd call me goody two-shoes and say, who do you think you are, and all this stuff. And I just tell them, you know, I don't mind that you do these things. That's fine. If everybody chooses what they like to do, that is not something I do because of my mother. And I'm the one that has to look in the mirror every day and like that person I'm looking at in the mirror. And if I were to do what you're asking me to do, I would not like me.
Right.
And they couldn't get that. And so I was screamed at, yelled at, just pushed around. I remember I got sick so bad that I couldn't even talk, let alone sing. And the band told me not to tell anybody that I had to sing on stage anyway. And even if my voice cracked and squeaked and all that, I was not to tell the audience why. I was just to let them think that I had a horrible voice, that's all.
Okay.
And
that's perfect, yeah.
And
especially with someone who doesn't have an ego.
Yeah. And I ended up telling them, you know, why my, you know, that I had a laryngitis. And I was told, they took me backstage at the end of the night and just screamed and yelled at me and threatened to not pay me because I should not have said anything when there was nothing wrong with saying that. It was in a small nightclub, you know, it wasn't anything big. It wasn't like we were on a big, huge stage in a show, you know. So that was hard, very, very hard going through that. I was out on the road. I was with three bands when I was out on the road that I had a manager in Florida who set me up in these different bands, and everyone had their problems, you know, and they're all very much different than me because I'm just not into the same things that a lot of people are into, you know, but I wanted to sing, you know, that was my heart. So I did it and took it, took the abuse. And then when I got off the road, I found a band in my hometown that I loved. I was with them for 8.5 years. It was wonderful. And it got into my studies, and we had some hardships, my husband and I, as far as losing house, him losing some jobs, and it was hard. And that's when I started thinking, you know what? I'm going to start writing. I knew it was time for me to start writing. And so I've been studying my whole life, and I had so much to say to the world, you know.
Yes, you do. You really do.
And so
that's
I
what
just started.
that's you've written two books. You're all over. You write all over, and you are so not done.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I write articles.
Yeah.
So that's that is how I got to where I am right now.
So what I just want to say very quickly to you, and it doesn't really, I don't think it matters at this point at all. Mm-hmm. But as you were talking, you know, by the way, my show is named Growing Up Indigo, but I didn't write it because I want to talk about indigo people. It just came up that way. I wasn't indigo. But guess what? We're born the exact same year, but you were an indigo child.
I know I was. I know that now.
So, yes.
But I didn't know it
so,
then.
And I know, and it was just, and most indigo children have it kind of, and I'm saying this not literally, but most indigo children have it beaten out of them, you know, and that's just the way it is. So, you definitely, boy, you know, reading you and knowing a little bit about you, and you are.
Yeah.
So that's where you are now. Now, this is where I just have to, this is where I need to understand, how on earth did you come to finding out your, well, I know you took the courses and I know you became certified, but how did you come up, and I'm still on this, how did you come up on your way of working? Imprinting, and here I go again, you know, and finding that formula for working with your clients. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I've studied a lot of different things in my life, and I've had mentors, and I've learned a lot of different ways of helping people, a lot of different methods, and I just kind of combined them. And used them in my own way. I use them in my own way.
Okay.
And it just made sense to me how I went about doing that.
Okay.
For instance, the classes and courses I would take were to understand who I am on a mind level and to understand my mother. I wanted to understand why my mother was the way she was, so that I would not end up like her.
Totally, I got that, yes.
Yeah, and I studied nutrition because nutrition goes along with the health of your mind and your body. And I want to make sure that I kept those aspects of me as healthy as possible so I could go through the pain and suffering that I've been through. I have had many kundalini kinds of experiences from studying, from practicing meditation and Eastern philosophy and yoga. And I don't know, I don't want to scare anybody, but everybody experiences the kundalini coming up in their own way.
Do we all experience it, or is it something that everybody experiences their kundalini opening or coming up, or is it something that some people never experience or always has it closed?
Well, people that are not trying to wake up as spiritual beings in a human form, their kundalini is only going to go so far. And they may get stuck there if they don't choose to learn any further or to grow in much further, to open their minds to other aspects of life other than the human body, you know. Then theirs is not going to rise very high. But they will still grow and change,
right,
but not more in a human and thinking way as far as what they do with their life, how they treat people, how they see themselves, things like that. But people that are searching for the truth of why they are here and who they are and why they are on this planet and are going through all this, those are the people that are asking the questions that only a higher power can instill in us, because those answers are deep inside of us anyway, because we were made with that creative force that has all the answers. So we start, I started digging inside myself, trying to find out what made me tick and what I was supposed to do with this life. And so, no, not everybody experiences their Kundalini raising very high. If they do, it can be very mild, and they don't even recognize it as it, something like the Kundalini. Let's say they might have a feeling in their back or whatever, or someplace in their body in one of their chakras, and think, oh, that's just indigestion or something.
I don't know about that, but yeah, I understand. I know that for me, from the time I've been a really little, almost a toddler, and it still happens, I feel chills that and goosebumps that go and down my body, up and down body, and it's been constant throughout my life, and I didn't know it then, but and I'm still not sure if that's the Kundalini, but that's what I, that's me when I hit spirit. I know that.
Yeah, that's your Kundalini.
Okay.
Because your Kundalini energy opens up our chakras so that we are open to the our inner being, that higher aspect of our mind and soul and heart, so that we can get answers to the hard questions that are almost impossible to get unless you work, you search inside and do some studying, at least. So
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. So
I just have so many things to ask you.
I don't want anybody. Go ahead.
No, please finish.
Oh,
I'm sorry. No.
No, I'm just saying that everybody experiences their Kundalini moving up and in a different way, in their own way. Why it happened the way it did for me, I am not sure. I have ideas about it.
Well, tell me, because that was really, that was one of the hardest parts for me to read, because I felt so in, you know, I just put myself in the book. And when you were going through that, it was just amazingly awful for me to read. I don't know if anybody was listening last week or, but Carolyn had has Kundalini experiences that just are, go ahead, Carolyn.
Well, I don't have them anymore, thank goodness.
They
stopped in 1999, those real hardcore ones where I would feel all day long, I would feel like this little animal crawling in my stomach, and I didn't know what that was, you know, and and in the middle of the night, I'd wake up with this feeling sick to my stomach, and I'd go into the bathroom and sit by the toilet waiting to see what was going to happen, and then I'd feel this fire come up from my root chakra, coming up through my chakras towards my head, and it was like being burned up inside. I felt like I was being burned up inside. And I didn't know if this I was going to die with it, if this was the time I was going to die. And every time it happened, which was about 10 times or 11 times in my life, and I would wonder, okay, is this the time I actually die? Because it was so excruciating, the pain, the fire, that I begged God to, if this is my death, just let me go right now, because I can't take this. And then I would pass out. The fire would push me out of my out of the top of my head, and I'd pass out, and I'd wake up passed out on the floor in the bathroom. And then I'd have this horrible, horrible abdominal pain that was like torture, like being in hard labor.
I know, but then it was great. I mean, you know what I mean? After that, it was fantastic.
Well, That happened after I woke up from the fire.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but it was so excruciating. I was climbing the walls. I actually, my husband took me to the hospital one time, and the doctor could not find anything wrong with me. He said it was my imagination, and I knew it wasn't. And so I knew from then on, I just have to get through this on myself, by myself, with my husband. Mm-hmm. He was always there with me, right by my side. And I knew it was Kundalini. I just knew it.
Yes.
And so I was willing to go through whatever it took to reach self-realization, to be a self-realized person. If this is what it takes, I will do it because I wanted it that badly.
Right.
And I'm saying that it doesn't happen that harshly for everybody. For me, I was depressed. It started when I was in my 20s, and I was living with my dad, with my son, for a while. And it was the first time it happened. I had no idea what was going on. Oh, and I wake up in a puddle of sweat. That's the other thing. My clothes are just soaked. And I didn't know what it was, but I had been extremely, extremely depressed because I was alone. My father was not nice to me. He treated my son awful, treated me awful, and we just tried to stay out of his way because I had to have a place to live for a while. And I was so depressed and scared because I didn't know where my life was going. You know, I had no one. It's like my whole family just did not want to be around me. And I didn't know why, but they didn't. And I had no one but God, you know. And so I just kept going because I had my son to raise and take care of. And I would always, you know, try to keep him, and he was healthy. I worked to keep him healthy, and I would teach him about metaphysical things from the time he was 3 years old. I'd tell him little things that he could understand, and to this day he's very, very metaphysical. But yeah, so I don't want people worrying that they're going to have to go through what I went.
Right. No, I don't think they would. I think they know that, you know, for everyone it's different.
Yeah.
So I know that. But I am, you know what I was actually doing? I don't want to tell you what I was doing. But I was listening, and I was like, this is the reader in me. I was like, why was it so difficult for Caroline? So
what was that?
I want to talk to you privately, and I want to, you know, just deal, you know, dig into things. But I want to ask you, the next thing that I want to talk about is, you talk in your book about, well, I want to, let me just do this first. You talk about that our perception of God, it's important in how it directs our lives, correct?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
How does our perception of God direct our lives?
Well, we live in a world of free choice, free will, and we can create our world the way we create our world, with whatever beliefs we have, with whatever perceptions we have about life and ourselves. We create our world with that. And we do the same thing with God. We say we have all these religions, and I mean, there's so many religions in this world. And here in the United States, we just have so many religions that have taken 80. Off from this other religion, you know. There are takeoff of this other religion, and it goes on and on. It's like, you know, different limbs of the same thing.
Yes.
And everyone has a different perception of what God is like, what God is for, what we should believe, what we shouldn't believe, what happens to us, that God, and those perceptions are, a lot of people still believe that God punishes, especially right now. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are feeling like God is punishing us in this world because we have so much pain and suffering going on in the world right now.
I think it's always been like that, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the world is going through a heavier change now than we've ever been through.
Actually, I think we're getting a lot of assistance. And if you think about it, there are way more people today that are open to a consciousness that they've never been open to before.
Absolutely. And you know why?
Yes, I do know why.
because the suffering, we get to the point where, wait a minute, this world is changing too drastically. Why am I here? I'm scared. What's going to happen? Is there going to be a world war? Am I going to die? You know, and everybody's scared, and we see all these hateful things going on in the world, and people get scared, and they start questioning, God, what's going on? What's going on? I don't like this. How do we change this? And this is, what did we do to get us to this place? So people are asking those important questions. So, because they don't want the world to continue in this way, or they don't want to be here. So it's those questions that start opening us up to the truth and make our minds start thinking about, okay, well, how can I change this? What can I do? Well, we need to go back to the original religion of the Christian religion when Jesus Christ was trying to teach us about love and compassion. And we have gotten so far removed from love and compassion to where the only love and compassion we have.
Oh, wait, I just have to stop you right here. Carolyn, I need to stop you.
Okay.
That was not the original religion. There were religions way before that.
I mean Christian religion.
I know, but that's not the original religion.
No, I don't mean the original religion. I mean the original Christian Jesus kind of religion.
Okay.
Jesus Christ kind of, the Christ religion. And maybe there were
well, there was Judaism.
That talked about that coming to pass.
They got it from Judaism, which was the religion. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sure. But I'm just talking about the Christian religion right now when Jesus was here on the
earth. Okay.
And the world was, people.
I know, I'm just bringing that up because it absolutely came up actually 2 weeks ago for me that there were a lot of things that were kind of like that. And there are many, many Buddhism and lots of stuff that were here before.
I know Buddhism and all that and Eastern religions and things, which I think are far superior to a lot of things. And that's why I studied so much of that, because it gave me more answers than Christian religion gave me.
Exactly. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's all.
So we need to go back to opening up our hearts and our souls to each other and seeing that we are all created by the same God.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one God, and that is a God of love, a God of love and forgiveness. And we have created an ego God that punishes, says it's okay to judge, that says it's okay to take revenge out on somebody, that it's okay to dislike somebody because of the way they look or the way they worship or whatever, you know. I say that if a person is happy with the religion they are in, it makes them happy, it gives their life meaning and purpose, and they feel fulfilled, then that's
great.
Where they're supposed
great.
To be right now.
I agree. And I think that a lot of the people that are against religion, I think that I agree. If religion is what's bringing you to that spirituality, then this is right for you.
Exactly.
And that's the job it's supposed to do for you.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people in that, any given religion, there are people in there that are fulfilled by it and they really get the truth of it. And
that's
then there's
right.
others that see it in a different way that actually causes them pain.
Because
they feel like they're not deserving of God's love.
That's not the right way. Exactly.
No. But we all have these perceptions. And we start having these perceptions when we're first taught about God when we're little. And we create these perceptions throughout our life because of our life experiences and what we have studied and learned and heard. And so we need to get back to the fact that religion should be about a God that loves and forgives.
Yes. And then we can love and forgive ourselves.
And that helps us figure out how we can heal ourselves, forgive ourselves first, because we have to forgive ourselves before we can forgive other people.
Exactly.
And we have to accept ourselves before we can accept other people. So this is why our perception of God is so important.
Thank you.
And we need to know the difference between a loving, listening to the loving God or listening to an ego God.
And God, you know, sometimes we are, I just want to say this, we all hear and feel God in one way or another because
yes.
we all have that innately.
Yes.
So when you hear or you feel something saying to you in a very loving but very practical voice, whether you hear it in your head or you see it or you feel it, that
right.
just says, why don't you do this or you're on the right track. That is God. If you ever hear anything saying to you, oh, that was an idiot move, that's your ego.
That's right.
So that isn't that true? So
yes,
I want to ask you something else, Carolyn. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, I know that desires people think are bad. I know they're good and so do you.
Mm-hmm.
So how does unending desires serve us?
Well, when we come into this world, we're taught all these things by our families, and then as we get older, we start understanding what desire is. Like a child, they want candy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a desire, but they don't know.
I still do.
Yeah, but they don't know. What they don't know is that that desire to have candy all the time could rot their teeth or make them unhealthy. So,
right.
But they don't know that. So, and as we get older, we want to figure out how we're going to live our lives. How are we going to make a living? What are we going to do in life? We want something that we enjoy doing. So how are we going to figure that out? Well, I suggest that we take our topmost desires and pick the one that we think is the most capable of being accomplished right now in our life, and go after it. Go after that
yes.
desire.
Mm-hmm.
And live through it to the point where you either continue it and it becomes a passion, or you get tired of it and so you want to try something else. So our
right.
desires are like stepping stones to our passion.
Right.
So they serve the purpose in letting us know what would not be good for us to do. That's how our desires serve us, what isn't good for us.
Absolutely.
But
and I just want to, I'm sorry, continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't hear you.
But we are learning still a lot about ourselves and life by living those desires. And once we learn it and we realize, okay, this isn't for me, then we move on to another desire until we find our passion.
Right. And having desires continually just serves to make sure that we are always alive. And
yes.
that's a very important, I don't mean alive as in dead, I mean alive as in exuberance and vitality.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, we're not even alive.
Right. And we are here to be part of the world because we help each other in each of our experimenting, we do every experience we experience, we are meeting people and we are all helping each other on levels we're not even aware of.
Exactly. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
I always say that. Now,
yeah.
I want to do something. If we can get this in, I will be so thrilled.
Okay.
Now, we kind of touched on it because we were talking about unending desires. And we were talking about how Well, I don't know if we we're just going to go right into this, okay?
Okay.
So we were talking about how it feeds our passion, and when it stops, you know, those things that we're doing stops feeding our passion, maybe we move on to something else. Mm-hmm. Now, right in the middle of that, maybe we've made a choice somewhere else. Carolyn, do you know where I'm going?
Well, it means, well, I'm not sure where you're going.
Okay.
But
I am going
I can say this, that have
no,
a passion,
wait.
And let's say we've done it for 20 years, and we loved it for 20 years, and then all of a sudden we don't love it, and it's not giving us the same passion that we used to have for it. So we think, well, maybe I'm supposed to be doing something else, but maybe not. Maybe we just need to take that particular talent and do something else with it.
Absolutely.
To renew that passion.
That's very true. It is. And
is that
was
where you
very,
were going? I don't know where you're going.
Oh, wait, I heard something. I don't think we were clear, like the mic. But anyway, what I was thinking of was that Carolyn had mentioned it right in that second before, that we are always on other levels, communicating and changing and doing this. On other levels, we also experience alternate realities.
Oh, yes, we do.
Carolyn, could you please explain how alternate realities relate to reincarnation? And we're really kind of a little bit, we have enough time. I think
okay.
we do.
Okay.
You can do it.
Okay. I'll try to speed it up.
Don't try to speed it up. Just say it. You know.
Reincarnation is a word that is outdated because we now know there is no re in incarnation. There's just we are incarnated, and all of our lives are alive and well on different frequency levels, all at the same time.
Perfect.
And that's what alternate realities are. When we step into another frequency level of ourself for a while, a momentarily or whatever. And it's happened to me many times in my life. Mm-hmm. You don't even know, at least I haven't. When I've stepped into an alternate reality, and I'm walking around in this body, I'm with people, I'm out in the world, walking around with people, and here I slip into this alternate reality. But I don't know I've slipped into this alternate reality. I think what I'm seeing right now is what's really going on. And this has happened to me. Do you want me to give you a short example?
Of course. I want you to explain in any way you want.
Okay. I lived in this apartment complex that was single story. It was an old apartment complex when I was divorcing my first husband. And everybody had a sliding glass.
I know that one. Okay.
Okay.
I got excited. Go ahead.
Okay. The sliding glass door, the same kind of sliding glass door as their front door, everyone. And they all opened up on the same side and of the at their apartment. And was there for several months, and I would remember seeing this lady that lived in the end apartment next to me go in and out of her apartment. She'd go to work, come home, go into her apartment. And, you know, I'm a person watcher, and I care about people, so I worry about them easily. And so I felt she was a very lonely person, very, very depressed, and she was alone. She didn't have anybody living with her. And she was about 25 years older than me, I would say, from what I could determine. And I wanted to befriend her so she didn't feel so alone, because I knew what it was like to be depressed. I've gone through a lot of it in my life, and I didn't want her going through that by herself, you know. And so I was waiting for the opportunity just to say hi to her and maybe get her to talking. And one day I was, she and I both came home at the same time, and she was unlocking her sliding glass door, and I was unlocking mine. And I looked over at her, and she was just looking at her door. She wasn't looking at me, even though she knew I was there. And I said hi, and she kind of looked at me real shy, you know, and like she didn't really want to say talk to anybody, and said hi. And then she turned around and went into her apartment. So I thought, well, I'm not going to force her to talk to me, you know, when she, I want her to feel comfortable. So a few months after that, one of my friends came over to visit me in the morning, pretty early in the morning, and she heard this noise coming from my kitchen. She said, "What's that noise coming in your kitchen?" And I said, she said, "There's you cooking something?" I said, "Oh, no, that's the lady in the end apartment. That's her coffee pot percolating. I hear it through the wall every morning. And she says, I said, "She lives in the end apartment." She says, "The end apartment?" She says, "Well, you live in the end apartment, Carolyn." I said, "No, I don't. I've been here months. I know I don't live in the end apartment. I've seen this lady a million times that lives in the end apartment. And so, no, I don't live in the end apartment. You're mistaking." And so she says, "Carolyn, please just go outside and look, just to ease my mind. Maybe I'm the one that's going crazy. Just go out and look." So I said, "Okay, I will go out and look." And I went out. And sure enough, there was no end. I was the end apartment.
Oh, my God. I know. Oh, my God. Could you imagine if you had just decided before to say hello to her and asked her a question, what she could have said to you?
Oh, I'm sure that she would have. She answered me when I said hi. And I've heard that some people think that you can't talk to your alternate reality people, but I have, and I have every time. And the only way I knew I had been in an alternate reality is because my friend made me go look to see that I lived in the end apartment. There was nobody next to me.
I know.
So otherwise, I would have thought she was still there.
Right. Did you ever see her again?
No, I never did.
Wow.
I never did.
So in terms now, I think what you said was so amazing, because I rarely hear people say this, and yet I write it and I say it all the time. There is no reincarnation.
Exactly.
I love that. I love that, because we are always incarnating. And another thing that I wanted to just point out quickly is that I really think that there's no higher level, lower level, because it's all happening now.
So,
some life you're upper, you know, you're evolving. In some life, you're living a life that you weren't so evolved in. So it's all really the same.
Yeah, we're all helping each other.
Exactly. And so what I wanted to ask you, because I know that you have thought about this a great deal, and you do this. How do we find meaning and purpose in our lives?
We find meaning and purpose by going after what we desire to do, what we think we want to do, what feels good right now, and see if it's something we can give meaning and purpose to our lives.
So let me ask you a question.
Okay.
You're sitting there and you don't know, and there are so many choices, and you just don't know. You could go here, you could go there. And then of course there are the monetary impediments. What do you do, Carolyn? What do you do? How do you follow that? How do you choose?
You take a guess.
Okay.
Or you take a guess, or you pick the thing that seems the most interesting to you right now. I have had so many jobs. You would not believe all the jobs I've had in my life.
Right.
Just trying to find a niche that would bring more work into my life, but also more passion into my life.
Okay. So you're, yes, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
So you're saying, I guess, that even if you're not sure, right, you should take something that makes you really, like, happy and take a step.
Yes. If it's a probable step, if it's a possible for you with everything that's going on in your life right now. If not, then work toward it being probable and everything being right for you to go after that, whether it's money to go back to college or whatever it is, you know.
Right. So I also think that everything you've said really about desire and about just everything and spirituality is that really we've heard, and we've heard it before, but not in the way Carolyn has said it, that if we are really looking to find our purpose, our purpose is to help each other, number one, because that's what she's saying. Number two, to find out what makes us happy and then take a step. And we will be directed and helped along the way, as Carolyn was, clearly. Is that right?
Well, I'm not saying that you take the desire that's feels like it would make you happy if you were doing this. You don't know until you do it.
And well, you have to have a feeling of, well, you have to have a passion for it. So that would be feeling it would make you happy, wouldn't it? That's a desire.
Well, if you've never done it before and you have no experience with that, then you're not going to know that. But it sounds like it in your head as you picture it. It feels like something you would like to do that would make you happy. Then you have to try it to find out.
Right. Right,
yeah.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So if you have that desire, you have to try it. You have to go for it.
Exactly.
Otherwise, you know, you're going to be stuck not doing anything.
You stand still. I mean, we have to take risks in what we want to do with our lives, because it's not going to just be handed to us on a silver platter. Sometimes I guess it is, but for most people it's not.
Right.
And
exactly.
So we have to be willing to take a step into the unknown, because we don't know where this step is going to take us once we take that step.
And truthfully,
we just have to follow it.
Right. Everything is the unknown, literally everything. It's not known what we're going to do the rest of the day, really, tomorrow, the next day. So she is absolutely right. I want you all to please just go to www.awakeningyou.com. Please take a look at everything Carolyn has to offer. Carolyn, I just wanted to know, do you do private work still?
Yes.
Okay, great. So she does that. She's also the author of I Dreamed I Was Human. Right? And that, I don't remember the rest of the part of it, but that is a book she wrote, I Dreamed I Was Human. She's got so much work. She's also got a blog. Where is the blog you have, Carolyn?
The blog?
Yes. You have a blog.
Can you
hear me?
Yeah. No, I write articles for the magazine Sedona Journal of Emerging.
That I know. Oh, okay. I thought it was a blog. But
no.
Yes, she...
No.
Okay.
I have Facebook. I'm on Facebook, so I put a lot of things on Facebook as well. And what else was I going to say? I do phone counseling as well, and like I do numerology charts, dream interpretation, soul path plans, and any kind of counseling, spiritual counseling, or if people are having problems. Because I think I've probably experienced every kind of problem you almost could experience in life. I've gotten through them. So
and that's why so much I wanted Carolyn on this show. So you know that when you speak to her and when you call her and when you need that kind of guidance and work from her, you're speaking to somebody that not only has the, you know, the training for it, but she's been there and has that compassion and understanding that other people may not. And that's what makes it invaluable. So, Carolyn, I just want to thank you so much. Do you need to update us on any place you're going to be next, on a radio show, anywhere?
If you go to my Facebook page, you can see what my other interviews are coming up. I have one tomorrow, but I don't have it in front of me. But if they go to my Facebook page, if you go to awakeningyou.com, you can get to my Facebook page. And you can order the book from there. You can get to the link to order the book, to my new book, Life Before Life, How Soul Agreements Direct Our Destiny.
And I have everything on my Facebook page, guys. So I have her site. I have all of her sites, actually. I have the book, and I have it all. So we can go to Carolyn's or mine, and you're going to find it. I also have it on LinkedIn. So please... please check this out. She's absolutely wonderful. Carolyn, I really want to thank you. Yes.
Thank you, sweetie. But I wanted to mention, too, I have a CD that I wrote all the music on and recorded.
I have that on there, too.
Okay. So they can go to Amazon.com and order any of those songs one by one if they want to. So
go to Amazon.com. And what was the name of the CD?
It's called Face in the Mirror.
Right. Face in the Mirror, guys, and go to Amazon.com or just go to my Facebook page. And I also have the video that accompanies it, I think. I think you talk about it there. Is that right?
Yes, I do. No, it's about the book. Yeah, it's about
the book. Okay. Well, I have it, and I'm going to put it up now when we get off. And so please go to Amazon.com and look up that CD, Face in the Mirror. And I'll put up some more information about Carolyn. Thank you, sweetheart. I really, really appreciate, and we'd love to have you back again.
Anytime, sweetie. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. All right, everybody.
Love to everyone.
So much. Carolyn, I'm sorry. Say goodbye. I'm sorry.
Love to everyone.
Thank you. I'm terrible. I really am, aren't I?
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Thank you so much for being here with us. I'll be back next week, and have a great week. Bye, everyone.